How do you do? Unless you've lived through war in your homeland, it's hard to imagine the destruction and fear. Add to that the challenge of losing your eyesight, and you have a recipe for despair. Yet the woman in this story experienced both war and increasing blindness, but she had inner peace because her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Stay where you are. We are searching everything. Show me your papers.
I'm a teacher at school. Ask the principal.
Silence! You lie. You are enemy nationals. Spies.
I was born here in Japan.
Then why do you have British passport?
My father is English.
This is my wife. I came here as a missionary from South Africa.
Silence! Take him away.
Percy!
Don't be frightened, Amy. The Lord is with us.
Woman, you stay here, under house arrest.
Proclaiming the good news to a troubled world, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people. Dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The homeless look for some to take pity. But there are few, except at Pacific Garden Mission. Ever since George and Sarah Clark opened their hearts to the poor in 1877, the doors have never closed at the mission. The old lighthouse shelters hundreds of men, women, and children, offering a safe bunk for the night, nourishing meals and fresh clothing, all without charge, thanks to generous friends who send financial gifts. Mission pastors and counselors share the good news that can change any life, the good news that can set the captives free and light their pathway to the future. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3210 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Where is your husband's camera?
My husband always keeps his camera in his desk drawer.
It is not here.
Well, my husband always keeps it there, but if you can't find it, why don't you ring the police station and ask him where it is?
Sergeant, call the station and ask the foreigner where he keeps his camera hidden.
Can I visit my husband?
You must not leave the house.
Not even to get food?
Policemen will stay here and guard this house to make sure you do not leave. Do not read in the newspaper and have no visitor. You are under house arrest. Do you hear? We are at war.
After the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the woman in our story, born in Japan, was now imprisoned there. She had a pituitary tumor that couldn't be removed, leading to loss of vision in her final years. This is the conclusion of her story, the true testimony of Amy Luke, right now on Unshackled.
We were living on the west coast of Japan in the town of Niigata when Percy was arrested and taken to jail. A policeman guarded us from early morning to early evening. Our four-year-old daughter missed her father so much she became sick and couldn't climb the stairs without screaming in pain. Authorities gave me permission to take her to the doctor, and after 10 days, Percy was released because of our daughter's illness.
I don't know how long they let me stay. But I'm grateful just to see you.
Did they feed you properly?
About what you'd expect. But I hear the food in prison is not good.
Let's pray that you don't go there.
God knows our situation, Amy. He said, my grace is sufficient.
The children are so glad to see you.
So what did the doctor say? Why is Connie sick?
Her body is deficient in vitamins because of the nervous stress she's under, missing you, having the policeman in the house constantly. He watches everything we do.
At least they let you go to the doctor.
She needs a vitamin B injection every few days.
And they let you out for that?
Yes. I have to leave Norman with the policeman, which I don't like, but there's no alternative.
I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. God is so faithful to let me come home.
But after 18 days at home, Percy was rearrested and taken to the Niigata prison. He was put in solitary confinement and we provided his meals. So every day at 9 in the morning, the principal of the school sent the janitor to pick up 3 meals that I'd prepared, and the janitor delivered them to prison. Mother heard about our situation and came at once from Tokyo.
It's astounding that this is happening to you, Amy.
I'm okay, Mother, but I worry about Percy and the children.
God is with him.
Yes, I know.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yes, Mother, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Trust him.
I do, but I still miss Percy so much.
Do you have enough to eat?
Vegetables are hard to get. I was told to bury boxes of them in the sand before winter, but when I dug them up, they'd all been eaten by big rats.
Oh, we have to get you to Tokyo. Your father and I are talking with the authorities there to get Percy released to house arrest with us.
And I hope you succeed, Mother.
And your eyesight?
My vision is the same, but it no longer worries me. I used to pray constantly, asking God to save my sight. Then one day, I was working in the kitchen and realized, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I have no fear. Percy wrote saying I could visit him in prison once or twice a week, so I went there and waited on a narrow bench while listening to relatives tell their stories. When my turn came to visit, Percy and I stood on either side of a counter and talked.
I'm surprised to see you, Amy, after that blizzard.
4 feet of snow.
How are the children?
Fine. We miss Mother since she went back to Tokyo.
It's been more than 3 months. Still no word about my trial.
I've learned that you cannot be confined more than 100 days, so I spoke with the prosecutor, and he said he can do nothing without permission from Tokyo, so I wrote to Mother.
She knows how to make things happen.
Mother went straight to the officials in Tokyo, who told her they had nothing to do with what happens in the prefectures. So Mother came at once and spoke with the prosecutor. The next day, Percy was released but had to remain under house arrest. He had developed chronic ulcers and was very thin and weak, but the children were delighted to see him again.
The powers that be in Tokyo have given permission for you to come and live with us there.
Praise God.
Amen. How did you do that, Mother?
Your father is very well respected, and we have Japanese citizenship now.
At least it will be warmer there.
Our house is crowded, Percy. Amy's older brother and his family are living with us, and so is her younger brother and his wife. So you will have to live in the little Sunday school room.
You have permission for us to travel?
Yes. I take you and Norman back to Tokyo first, while Amy stays to pack your belongings. The policeman will go with us to keep an eye on you. Then I come back for Amy and Connie.
Food was so scarce in Tokyo that strict rationing began. We were limited to 1 egg per person each month, 2 ounces of meat, 2 ounces of fish every other week, and a little rice and vegetables in season. Our daughter's health declined so much she could no longer digest eggs or fish. A doctor prescribed milk, but milk wasn't in our rations. So I took his letter to the food distribution center in Tokyo, and they gave us permission for a third of a pint of milk every other day. Still, she grew weaker. Then our son became sick.
Madam, excuse me, but I remember you.
Yes, sir. I recall you work at the government food distribution center.
You all right? Why are you weeping?
My son has been diagnosed with rickets. He's only 2 years old and his legs are thin and crooked. The doctor says he needs to have fresh cream or he will die. But where will I get fresh cream?
If you promise never to tell anyone, I will have fresh cream delivered to you.
For several weeks, that man's daughter delivered fresh cream to our door in the middle of the night, and his kindness, along with x-ray treatments, saved our son's life. But our move to Tokyo brought new threats.
What is happening?
What's going on?
The American bombers dropping bombs.
How can that be? They told us Tokyo would never be bombed.
They were wrong.
We'd better dig some air raid shelters in the backyard.
Hide! The children! Get the children! Our house was not struck, but Percy dug two shelters, and we ran there and hid when the planes came dropping bombs. When winter invaded, we feared pneumonia in the damp, cold earth more than we feared the bombs. So we hid under our beds, hoping the danger would pass. Night after night, we could see Tokyo burning.
Sensei Yamada, this is government order. You must move out of house.
Move out? But why? We own this property.
Oh, very sorry. Government is going to demolish all houses on this side of the street to make fire escape. Too many people died trapped on narrow streets.
It's true. Oh, I go tell your father.
Where can we go?
We move to a mountain resort. Get away from the bums.
Percy and I are under house arrest. We have to get permission to move.
Our missionary friends living on the outskirts of Tokyo are also under house arrest. Maybe we can live with them.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We visited our friends who live 10 miles outside of Tokyo, and they agreed to let us stay with them in a 9-foot square room. I tried to borrow a cart from every shopkeeper on our street, but they also had to move and needed their vehicles. Japan had no sewer system then, and sewage was hoed away in big tubs on a cart. And one of those men agreed to let us use his cart the next morning.
I still can't believe you agreed to put our belongings in such a thing, Amy.
We have to move, and no one else was willing to help us.
Don't worry, Percy. The fertilizer will make your belongings grow.
Everything's wrapped and tied.
Good. He said he would be here at 7.
And there he is, outside the door.
Look, his cart is scrubbed and covered with straw mats. While the workmen pull the cart, Percy pushed from behind all the way to our destination. Meanwhile, the children and I traveled by train. We were not out of danger, though. Planes dropped incendiary bombs all around, and all the men fought fires. But God protect the house where we lived. Gas was rationed, so we cooked outside on an open fire using scraps of wood that the children gathered. The summer of 1945 came.
I've heard rumors that American warships are bombarding the coast of Japan.
Do you think they'll invade?
They'll have to in order to end the war.
The government will never surrender.
The rumors are that once the Americans land on Japanese soil, the Japanese military will send all the women and children to the mountains for safety, and the soldiers will kill all the enemy nationals.
That means us.
Yes, Amy, that means us.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
We'll hear more about Amy's story in just a moment. Sick at heart. This is often the condition of homeless people when they come to Pacific Garden Mission. Unable to change their circumstances, they have lost hope. But Pacific Garden Mission helps them recover. Nourishing meals, more restful sleep, and security go a long way toward healing neglected bodies. And the Mission Medical and Dental Clinic tends to their ailments, treating as many as 600 patients a month. The staff physician and nurses couldn't do this without the help of doctors and dentists who volunteer their time. They know that he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. To learn more about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
The invasion never came. The bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki cut short a war that would otherwise have dragged on for years. On August 15, 1945, I heard that the emperor was going to make a speech on radio, so I asked my Japanese neighbors if I could listen, and they agreed. The war is over, Percy. It's over.
Oh, praise God.
The Emperor has spoken. Japan, surrender to the Allies. Everyone was overjoyed, and people wept openly with relief. Percy and I took our two children to the main highway to welcome the American troops who offered to help those who were sick and gave us army rations to eat. After 4 years of house arrest, we were free to leave Japan. We visited my parents in the mountains and then spent a night with the American Red Cross in Yokohama. They gave us a bar of soap, something we hadn't seen in months. And the next day we flew to Okinawa. I can't believe all the food the Americans have here.
Yes, it's been 5 years since we've enjoyed food like that.
The children are not used to eating so well. Connie asked if she could eat the whole egg herself.
The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
How long are we staying here, Percy?
They tell me we fly to Manila in 2 days.
Manila?
To an army camp. All former internees are processed there.
Where he leads me, I will follow. In Manila, we lived in tents. Women and children on one side of the camp, and men in tents on the other side. We were there for nearly a month and joined a Bible study with 80 Americans, read by a chaplain.
From the Garden of Eden to the present day, our real enemy is Satan.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour."
Yes, sir.
The devil knows his end is destruction, and he wants to take as many as he can with him to hell. That's why God sent Jesus to rescue us. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10?
Yes. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
That's right. He came to give us new life. How does he accomplish that?
By paying the penalty for our sins so that we can stand before God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We travel by ship to Singapore, then on to Bombay, where 4,000 British troops boarded our ship to the Suez Canal. There we disembarked for Cairo. From there, we flew to Durban, a four-day flight in those days down across Africa. After some weeks of rest in a Christian R&R camp, Percy applied for a position as pastor with his denomination. I had never been a pastor's wife, but tried to serve the families of the mining town where God placed us.
Amy, you've been a wonderful wife, putting up with the conditions here.
I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
But you'd be more content in Japan.
Oh, I'd rather to go back home, Percy.
The field director of our mission has invited us to go back to Japan.
Lily, oh, that's wonderful. How soon?
Next year.
In 1951, we returned to Japan and served in Nagoya Bay. None of the people there knew anything about Christianity. We landed a house built on top of a big shed, which was a railway storage press. The structure was very flimsy. Nevertheless, we held meetings there. People had to stand very slowly, so the house didn't shake too much.
You cannot rely on people. They will fail. You cannot rely on governments. They will change. You cannot even rely on yourself, can you? The Bible says they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But you can rely on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and died for you so you could receive eternal life, an abundant life on earth and a home in heaven. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
My mother died 2 years after we arrived in Japan, and my father died 3 years later. I was grateful that God let me be there during that time. We had a small tent mission, after which more and more people came to our meetings. The tent was so small that visitors overflowed onto the street, drawing curious people. Many were saved. We took our furlough in America, where our daughter started college and our son started high school. Then, after a visit to South Africa, we returned to Japan, first to Osaka.
Please sit down, Mr. Rook.
Thank you for granting us permission to go to the high-rise flats, most honorable one.
So you want to speak to people about your religion?
Yes. We understand that you have public meeting room in each building.
Yes, that is so. You may lecture, but many people are Shinto and Buddhist. You must not force religion on anyone.
That will not be a problem. Our God lets us choose whether or not to follow him.
We ministered for 5 years there and then had a furlough, after which we spent 5 years serving the Lord in Minoshima, where the people were wealthy and self-sufficient. They had no need of God. We had Sunday school, morning and evening meetings, and English classes every week. On Wednesday mornings, I visited the government hospital, where one woman asked me to teach her about the Bible.
Life is too hard. It seems harder for some than for others, but God wants us to draw close to him for comfort and strength. Both my parents and all my brothers and sisters died of tuberculosis. At the age of 12, I was alone. I raised myself and married a good man, but our first son was born deaf and mute. Our second son died of meningitis. Now I have tuberculosis, and I too will die. All is futility.
No, it isn't, dear. God loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you so you could receive eternal life and go to heaven someday.
Oh, how can I know that is true?
I wondered the same thing when I was only 20.
You no longer wonder?
No, because I know God. And if Christ died for me, he also died for you. If you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save you, he will. And then you will know God too. And as we read the Bible, you will know that it's true. The following week, she was much happier and told me she had done as I said and found peace for the first time in her life. She recovered and went home to her husband. There isn't time to tell of all the many people we served. Blind people, those wounded by war and troubled marriages. We tried to reflect the love of Jesus to all we met. In 1975, Percy and I left Japan for the rest time as we retire from missionary service. After a 10-day voyage by ship, we arrive in Brisbane, Australia, where our son met us. We stay with Norman and his wife for several weeks until we found a suitable flat for our retirement. 4 years later, my vision deteriorated even more. In Toowoomba's General Hospital, I had many tests before being sent to another hospital for a brain scan.
Mrs. Luke, I'm the doctor. You have a pituitary tumor that's pressing on your optic nerve and causing your loss of vision.
Oh, they told me that 40 years ago.
Why didn't you have it removed then when it was smaller?
Because I was pregnant and the baby would have died during surgery. They wanted me to abort the pregnancy, but I refused.
Has your vision gotten worse since then?
Slowly, but it's suddenly gotten much worse.
The tumor is massive. Too big for treatment except surgery.
I am not having an operation.
Then you will go blind.
I know. But surgery will not restore the sight I have already lost.
I agree with you. You might as well go home.
Norman had a granny flat built on their home, a spacious flat with no stairs to navigate. Many people gave financially to help with construction. Within 2 years, I was totally blind.
Let me pour you some tea, Amy.
Thank you, Percy.
Your friend from church brought some scones when she brought these tapes.
I'll have to set aside some money to give to the Lord as a thank you.
We are truly blessed.
I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Psalm 37. 52 years we've been together as a team, dear wife.
You take good care of me, Percy.
You would do the same for me.
It's wonderful to think that our Norman, the baby the doctors wanted to remove, is now taking care of us. What if I had listened to the doctors?
You didn't, because you were too busy listening to the Lord.
That's the secret, Percy. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God said in Jeremiah chapter 33, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I wrote my memoirs, and I learned to use a special writing aid from the Society for the Blind so I could write to my Japanese friends. Percy and I continue to serve the Lord by speaking at luncheons and churches. Like the Apostle Paul, I can say, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Amy and Percy have gone home to the Lord they loved and served. What about you, listening friend? Where will you go when you die? The same God who brought Percy and Amy safely through the war can bring you through whatever you face today. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." That same God gave his Son for you, so you could spend eternity in heaven instead of in darkness. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3210. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.